Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning and welcome to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Grun. I'm joined today by Dale Maley. He is an author and historian for the city of Fairbury. Good morning.
Good morning.
More books are coming out with your name on the front cover, right? And this one, World Wars, right?
Yes, ma'am. It's been a busy winter. In the winter, I do history research and I turn them into books. So this has been an exceptionally busy one because I finished 5 books.
Wow.
Yeah, just this winter. So.
And you're talking people from Fairbury and the surrounding areas who participated in the 2 world wars, right?
Yes, correct.
Very good. So tell us all about that, please.
Yeah, so we've got World War One and World War Two. For World War One, there's a really about 2-inch thick book for Livingston County. And if you want to go search through the 2 inches, you eventually will find your relatives you're looking for. Then for the World War Two in Fairbury, there is a book for that with the veterans in there. But both of those books have been out of print for years. And actually, the World War II book, the veterans' photo images are starting to fade out on there. It was,
wow.
I think it was done about 1947, so.
Well, it's going to happen over time.
That's right.
Aging paper.
Right. So my goal is to make it easy to access information for current citizens and future generations. And if you do an ebook version, that's word searchable, so you can put your relative's name in there and immediately find it. And then I do printed books. Some people like printed books, plus the libraries and museums. And I thought it was a chance to preserve those World War II veterans' photos that are kind of fading away. So this project turned out to take a lot more time and effort than I thought because it turns out there's about 300 people served in World War I and 300 people in World War II. So now you're talking about 600 people to track. Then the World War II veterans, they have a photo image, and there's 300 of those images. Then I had to make a high and low resolution version for the ebooks and printed books. So that means 600 images. So 600 people, 600 images. There's at least 3 different lists I cross-checked for the World War I people. Another 3 different lists I cross-checked for the World War II people. And then I added in people who got kind of missed in either World War I or World War II. So the first time in my life, I had a Microsoft Word document over 1,000 pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
So I sneaked by on the Kindle ebook version, and it finished up at about 1,156 pages or 256 megabytes.
Wow.
But then when I went to the printed one that has the high-resolution images of those 300 veterans, I literally blew up my Microsoft Word.
Whoops.
So I went out, and there's a free program called Office Libre, which is similar to Microsoft Word, and I was able to finish that book using that software. And that one ended up just over 500 pages, 591 megabytes, and the PDF file from that's 147 megabytes. Those are big files. So I started that about February 19th, so it's taken me 2 or 3 months to do this World Wars book. So World War One, Americans didn't really enter World War One until April 6th of 1917. Then it ended November 11th of 1918, so you're talking maybe a year and a half. Then it takes a long time to ramp up and get a new army, almost a year. So very few veterans from the Fairbury area actually arrived in Europe before the war ended. In fact, many of them arrived in Europe by boat, and they immediately got sent back home because the war was over.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, quite a few.
Wow.
So there's about 300 men and women served. There were 5 female nurses from the Fairbury area that served. There were 15 men that died. 14 of those were from Fairbury and 1 from Cropsey. That's a death rate of about 5%. Of the 15 men who died, though, 10 of them died of illness. But you have to remember, this is the time of the great worldwide flu epidemic, and they call that the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, mm-hmm. The deadliest in history. It infected an estimated 500 million people worldwide, about 1/3 of the planet's population, and killed an estimated 20 to 50 million victims.
Wow.
We can't even imagine that today.
No.
So 16% of our veterans actually fought in Europe, and of those that fought, about another 16% of those were actually gassed. And that was the first war that they used like mustard gas in.
Wow.
And then out of our 301 veterans, 10 were from Cropsey, and there was 1 fatality from Cropsey. 5 guys got inducted into the military, but when they got at basic training camp, they were rejected for various reasons. So the population back in 1918 of Fairbury was about 2,500. If we assume about half of that was male, that's about 1,200. Which means about 24% of the male population served in World War One. Now, think about that war. That was the first one with really powerful weapons and the gas. So they had high explosive shells, machine guns, and mustard gas. Not a fun time to be in a war.
Right, no, without a doubt.
And just one quick little story before we go to World War Two. There was a William Eckhart from Weston, and he actually went to Fairbury Schools. So he went into the service in May of 1918. However, the commanding officer sent a message to the parents back in Weston and said the son had gotten the flu and now had pneumonia. So the father immediately left Weston for Texas. I don't know how he went, car or trains, I don't know. But he managed to get at Fort Bliss, Texas by 9 o'clock the next morning. He got to talk to his son for 30 minutes before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
You know, can you imagine that, 30 yeah. minutes.
Wow.
World War II, a much longer war, started in 1941, ended in 1945. We had 354 men and women serve in that one, and there were 9 female nurses in that. 31 men died in World War II. That's a death rate of about 9%. Then we had 2 POWs. I'll talk about them in a second, Wade Harris and Dwight Seale. If we look at the population back in 1940, it means about 30% of the male population served. It's almost a third.
Yeah.
Now, the 2 POWs, Wade Harris and Dwight Seale, I actually worked with Wade Harris 2 summers while I was in college working as a plumber. Wade's only story that, and a lot of World War II veterans didn't like to talk about the war. So the only story he had was about latrine duty. The Germans hated the Russians the most, so they made the Russians clean out the latrines, but they did give them a vacuum tank with a hose to suck out the latrines. And somehow you lit a low-grade fuel, and the combustion process actually sucked the waste up the pipe. So the Russians decided to figure out how to get out of that. So instead of low-grade fuel, they put a little gasoline in, got everybody to stand back and lit her off, and the tank exploded. Now, the whole camp cheered in there because they thought the Russians were pretty ingenious here, until the next day when the Russians were down in the latrine cleaning them out with their bare hands.
Oh, gross.
So all that excitement didn't turn out so good. Now, so Wade lived a normal life. He's a plumber the rest of his life. That's a first POW. The second one, Dwight Seale, did not live a normal life, I would say. He got married. He moved to Tacoma, Washington, and at age 42, he went missing at American Lake outside Tacoma. So they think he drowned. I'm not sure they ever found his body. And his wife died about a year later, so kind of a sad story after surviving as a POW.
Yeah.
Then I probably mentioned this to you before. We had a Fairbury guy, Jerry Brandt, was driving around, and he hears a 1945 Bob Hope radio show where he talks to a Fairbury nurse. And by a miracle, I found the audio tape.
Oh, my gosh.
From the show. And Bob Hope banners with our nurse, Julia Flanagan, from Fairbury, Illinois. So I took the transcript of that and included it in my book. And then I have a link to the internet to go listen to the audio recording. So got that in there. A new one that came up. I had to really check my World War II history here. There were 5 Sullivan brothers all killed in World War II on the same ship. In fact, they just found that ship a few weeks ago, 2 miles down.
No kidding.
One of Microsoft guys funded it, and they found it.
Right, cool.
Yes. One of our Fairbury guys was on that big ship. His name was Glenn Lee Johnson. So the captain of the big ship, he sent a little boat over to a nearby island to check it out and see if maybe it could give the guys a break and get them off the big boat for a little while. So a small group goes over there. They left our guy in charge of the boat. And they went and explored the island, and they come back an hour or two later. The small boat was still there, but no sign of Glenn.
Wow.
So they searched and searched. They couldn't find him. And a year later, they actually declared him dead. And one a local descendant was watching an episode. There's a TV show called Mysteries at the Museum.
I love that show.
Okay,
yes.
I wasn't aware of that.
Hey, Pontiac's been on that.
Okay.
Down the block, right. The car museum was just on that recently.
Okay. So they had an episode about the kissing sailor, George Mendoza. And that's when the war ended. The sailor grabs what looks like a nurse and swoops her down and
yes.
gives her a big kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's still alive. And they were interviewing him on that show, and the descendant noticed he had a ball cap on that had the USS Sullivan's on it. So he and the descendant knew that was a ship that a relative was on. So she contacted him and found out that he recorded everything that was on that big boat. So he knew about the guy going missing. And then he said after the war, he was told they did find his body, but he'd been stabbed.
Wow.
And so the guy says there must have been Japanese on that island that just didn't see him that day. And then so I put that story in my new book. And then just 2 days ago, somebody gets a hold of me. They're writing a new book about that ship, the USS Sullivan's. And they said this Glenn Johnson is the only sailor they lost on that ship the entire time it was in World War II.
Oh, wow.
So
what are the odds?
What are the odds on that one? So, as you probably saw, I used Facebook on there, and we had lots of people who identified veterans who somehow got missed in the previous books. They supplied the information on the missing people. I would typically go find the obituaries for them And people just really like seeing photos of their relatives. So hopefully my new books will keep those old World War II photos of the veterans from fading away, because there's not too many of them still alive today. And hopefully we'll get them preserved and be able to thank them for their service.
Very cool. Now, where can people find these books? Can you tell us one more time, please?
Yeah, so I will be donating printed copies to the Fairbury Dominey Museum, the Fairbury Echoes Museum, and then the Pontiac Library. But you can go online today and order those from Amazon, either in ebook form, Kindle, or printed version.
Very good. You're going to be back in a couple days talking about another book you just finished. What's the title of that so we know what to look forward to?
The next one's going to be the Fairbury, Illinois and the Civil War.
Well, very good. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much for coming in today, Dale.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Groff for Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ.